무자 모르는 사람이 무자통에 빠진 줄도 모르고 좋아하느니라 century of fine array of Korean Sun masters, starting with Gyeongseun. He came from, he hailed from a peasant family. He lost his mother when he was 6 years old. And 2 years later, his younger sister died. When his younger sister died, he saw her body being wrapped up with a straw matting and taken away in the middle of the night. So that was quite shocking for him. And then his father remarried, so he lived with his mother-in-law. But then 3 years later, his father died. When his father died, his mother-in-law ran away. So almost overnight, he became hobo, or waif. And he tried to find a job. So he was able to get a job at the brassware workshop as blowing the bellows, keeping the fire on. But he always regretted that he never got any education. He didn't know how to write and read. So he quit the job, blowing the bellows, and then he tried to sell brushes for writing so that he could visit some institutes, Confucian institutes, where children of his age were educated in Confucian classics, or Buddhist temples. That's where he could sell brushes, but at the same time, he could get a chance of a piggyback learning. So one day, since he's homeless, it's he would be very lucky if he found some kind of a good shelter for overnight sleep. But usually, he would end up with a Buddhist temple. This Buddhist temple has in the corner, so that he could stay away from rain or from other things if it rains. So one night he was staying at the temple, not inside but outside, outdoors. Then in the middle of night, he heard this loud conversation going on upstairs. And the conversation, something like, if you have that experience, then you would be like a millionaire. There would be nothing to envy in this world. Something like that. Then he got greatly interested, with a great enthusiasm. He tried to listen carefully what they were talking about. So eventually, he made up there and asked, "What were you saying? Could it be true?" "Well, how could I do that?" "Oh, you can do that by shaving your head." "Oh, I would love to if I can become a millionaire. And there's nothing I can envy, you know. Well, I don't have to be a millionaire. I need to just stay a place where I can stay, hopefully raise a family or something." "So, well, first you shave your head and become a monk. With the same body, you do yourself and you'll find out. Then there would be nothing I can envy in the world." "Yes, there's nothing." "No." So he became monk at the age of 15. And he was sent to Hainsa, where he became monk. And then doubts arise in the shaving head and making monk, which is not very different from what I was doing. And then they said, "No, you have to learn to meditate. Then if you meditate, if you do Changsan, then you get wishy fulfilling jam. That's the way you have to go out." That made some sense. So so he was now looking for wish fulfilling jam through meditation. And so he was very diligent. And they talk about this mucha. That's the Georgia said, "Does a dog have a Buddha nature?" He said, "No, that's called a mucha." So he did his best so that he would gain wish fulfilling jam. And then he thought that he broke through the barrier, the mucha hadu, and so that he could get wish fulfilling jam. And then he was very elated and even in high spirits. So, and then he has to be recognized. So he went around, you know, seeking recognition. So nobody took him seriously. So he was very disappointed. And then so maybe I should try harder. So he came to Tansa. That's a beautiful temple near his hometown. And so he he was allowed to stay in one of the sub-temples for his ongoing Yongming Zhenji in search for wish-fulfilling joy. So one night, all of a sudden, his father disappeared. He cannot find it. And then the next thing what happened was he lost his voice. He had a wonderful voice. And well, there was a big fog. Apparently in the fog, he lost his voice. So this is a big thing. You know, I must get my voice back. So that time, somehow he heard somebody saying, go pick good melon of the fence. When he heard that, then his voice came back. And he felt so good. So he got out of his sub-temple, you know, he was there for quite a few years. And then there's the entrance way to this Tianza, which Duanzhen and I think with Anjali, we visited 1 year while visiting Korea. It's beautiful, it's about 2 miles long, very meandering. And there's called a stream running, and which is called the Nungpa Gyo. There he composed this poem. Cha ya manulu changhe enoachu pulcho Panjikyo Hananira was full of moonlight. Now I see outside the window the autumnal flowers of reeds, Buddhas and ancestors, they've gone and lost their lives. Still, the flowing water flows past the covered bridge that's called the Nungpa Gyo. And so he felt so good. And so he decided to visit the big Buddha at the main temple, the monastery. So standing in front of the Daewongjeon, he pulled down his pants and offered his the hot tea his body made. So just then, I mean, the monks up in the mountains, they wake up around 3 a.m. and then they practice, and then they have a porridge as breakfast. So this Wenju Sunim is a sunim in charge of household affairs. And he came out and saw this monk, you know, taking lick in front of Buddha hall. And then say, this rotten monk, you know. And then he had a broom, you know. And he said, well, you tell me where there is no Buddhas and Bodhisattvas so that I could enjoy good lick. And then the Wenju Sunim and then the other monks came and beat him, you know. And so he got beaten, and then, but he still felt pretty good. Now, 2 years later, he was visiting Mangong Sunim in Sudoksa. So, Mangong Sunim asked him, Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, when he saw the morning star, he attained enlightenment. Now, there are many stars up in the sky, some visible, some not visible. So which star is yours so that you could get your own enlightenment? And then right away, Chenggang Sunim got down on his knees and looking for, you know, on the ground, looking for his star. So Mangong Sunim recognized him. That's from then on, he called Anha. As soon as the word drops, he get it. Even before this, somebody finished, that's called Anha Deo. He saw this throughout his life, Anha Deo. As soon as the water drops, I give it to you. And now, one day, he even provoked a dispute, saying, Gyeongwa Sunim, of course, by the time Gyeongwa Sunim passed away, this only about 100 years, but still, He was not able to see Gyeongwa Sunim, but there's a Mangong Sunim and Yongzheng Sunim and Hanam Sunim, other Sunims. Yes, the good array of our teachers was still there. And Gyeongwa Sunim, when he was alive, he talked about the Song of Peace. But I don't agree with that. I don't like that. And so Mangong Sunim, and then also there's a Boal Sunim. Boal Sunim is the first disciple of Mangong Sunim. And they, Boal Sunim in particular, he was not very happy. This guy is saying things like that, provoking this. But Mangong Sunim waited, so go ahead, finish. What is it that you don't agree with? Well, it's a song of peace should be a happy song, and if there is a song, then there should be dance. You cannot think of happiness without singing and without a dance. And then she just got up right away, and then he has good voice. So he's singing and dancing. So this is life, not the dead world. And more importantly, the this has become a legend in the Korean song circles, at least during those days. And was during the Korean War broke out in 1950. And young people, either communists or the Allied forces, they were eager to recruit any young people who were able to fight this. So the parents who have young people had a hard time. And once they are called, and even before they get proper training, they were put out to the front line, and often they just die. That's called Chongal body, means they are the first to die. So they don't know how to shoot back. So there was this Jung Gang Sim had this disciple, and then the extent both of them and the teacher Jung Gang Sim in particular, the extent he went to, you know, caring for each other is a very legendary story. So he opened a variety store, and is to carry on the practice with his disciple, and then he got certificate that Song Dam Senim, his disciple, is a mute from doctor certificate. And and his disciple faithfully kept it. So it's called a silent monk for 10 years. So he did not say anything for 10 years, even well after Korean War was over. So when the bombing raid became intense and indiscriminate, okay, well, you know, I can die anytime, but you should not die, because Dharma should continue. You have to keep the Dharma and move forward after me. So Jung Gang Sim would take his disciple to one of the islands to protect him. And then, but when his disciple Song Dam Sim's parents learned it, they were so angry. My son was never mute. You ruined him, you ruined him. But so, this, his disciple, Song Dam Senim, he wrote, breaking over my relationship permanently with my parents. So they did, actually. He did, and then his parents were so upset. If you are going that much, okay, what do you call? And so, during the daytime, Jung Gang Sim was running Friday store, all these sundry goods, and then he would deliver them. But there are always signs. So for 10 years, silent. And and then midnight, they would stay up and meditating and talking to each other. And then at some point, he was hiding up in the ceiling too. So there are many stories about that. And then when Jung Gang Sim died, his disciple Song Dam Sim was so emotional. Even long after he died, he said he was still alive, but as a Joshi, as my master. There's a couple of episodes. There are many episodes. And Song Dam Tseng, his disciple, is still alive. He's one of the two renowned masters. So his contribution coming at the end of the 100 years of studying with Kyungha Tseng. And he was still able to visit and challenge all these Mongols in Yongzheng Tseng and Hanam Tseng. And then make the Hado Tseng very light. Nozune